Let me tell you something. It is the will of God that you walk in the gifts of the Spirit. As we feed on the Word, His sight become our sight. God calls you as you are, but He doesn't want you to remain the way you are. There can be passion in prayer. When the spirit of prayer comes upon you, there's passion in prayer. That door has been shut. What you need is stamina. There are doors that you need to keep knocking at.
Your life must change on this mountain. This is a mountain of power.
Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastor Shidi Jayoba. As you listen, be blessed.
My name. Hallelujah. Mastering faith, right? How many of us are excited this morning? Glory to God. A very important subject, mastering what? Faith. Someone take you on mastering faith. I'm so excited myself. Why? Because we are in the month where we are what? Marvelously helped. And if there's anything I've been telling us, you know, since the beginning of the month, both Sunday teaching and Wednesday's teaching, is to emphasize the fact that, you see, there is something called unbelief that might hinder the help of God in materializing in our individual lives. It's not like God is not an help, is not a helper. It's very clear that God helps. The help of God is present with us. But there is something that might look as though it will hinder it. And that thing is called unbelief. And so I acknowledged us and encouraged us to pay attention to God's voice. Is that very correct? Is that very correct, guys? That in this fasting, we should pay attention to God's voice, to instruction, to corrections. Amen? And then to devotion. That you pay attention to these things. And then I figure that, you know what? Let me help us even further in hearing, understanding how to hear God's voice. And therefore, understanding how to master our faith. Glory to God. Many of you are ready for God's help this month and beyond. Yes, I'm ready for God's help too. Glory to God. All right. So let's start this morning. We open up our Bibles, the book of Luke chapter 17. Oh, thank you. Paratis ki brandish kemanda. Thank you, Jesus. Are you in Luke? Open. Luke 17. We are going to look at it from but before we go to Luke, keep your fingers there. Go to Hebrews 13. I want you to see something so you will understand what is the link between what we've been doing and what we are about to do this morning. So we are not necessarily teaching a different topic, but it is actually intertwined. Are we in Hebrews chapter 13? Are we there? Let's look at it from verse 5. What does it say? Let your word conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will what? Never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may what? Boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So, the writer of Hebrews was admonishing us here that we should ensure that our conversation, that is our manner of life, amen? It's not talking about you talking to someone, no. Conversation in the old King James translation actually means your manner of life, the way you live your life. So don't allow your constant day-to-day living be of what? Covetousness. You must ensure that it is without covetousness. You know what it means to be covetous, right? Right? So being covetous means that you are not content, because the very next line says that what? And be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said. So the writer of Hebrew began to introduce what God has said. That is God's word. Is that very correct? He said, what did God say? I will never leave thee nor forsake you. So God made a promise about him being with us forever. Is that very correct? He made a promise to us. He said something to us. He said, and he said it so that we may what? Boldly say the Lord is our helper. So actually, the faith in God's word, faith generally in God's word brings out that side of God being our help. When you lack faith, you will most likely not see the help of God. Not because God is not a helper, but because you have not come to recognize. And we are going to see that here. So that's why I'm teaching us faith. Because we are in the season of what? Of help. Amen. Did you see that, guys? We must teach faith so that you can acknowledge and receive and absorb God's help at this time, at this point in time in your life. Now you can go back to that Luke chapter, what again? 17. Thank you. Now from verse what? 5 down to verse 6. Luke 17. Are you there? Alright, what does it say? And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said what? If ye had faith as great as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say to this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the roots, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. So the disciples, the apostles, the disciples at the time, they came to Jesus. And they said, Jesus, increase our faith. And Jesus did not say, no, I can't increase your faith. Your faith is what it is. Your faith is your faith. Is that what Jesus said? No. So he started to explain to them the concept of faith being increased according to them. He said, see, if you have faith as little as a grain of what? Mustard seed. It means Jesus is saying that you do not have a faith problem. Hallelujah. It means Jesus is saying to them that you do not have a faith problem, but there is something. And we're going to expand on that this morning. Amen. Now, I want us to check several scriptures in the Bible that points to faith being increased or anything happening with faith at all. Now, let's start from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 3. Now, you have to open your Bibles very fast. 2 Thessalonians what? Now, let's go. What does it say, guys? It says, we are bound to what? Thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith word groweth. Now, the church in Thessalonica, their faith what? Groweth. Alright? As it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other abounded. Now, I want to take that in the Living Bible, because sometimes it's, I particularly like the scripture said well there. Verse 3 said, dear brothers, giving thanks to God for you is not only the right thing to do, but it's our duty. It's our duty to God because of the really wonderful way your faith has grown, because of your growing love toward each other. So the Bible is saying that their faith grew because of what? Their love toward each other. That's what King James said here by saying, we are bound to give thanks because your faith groweth exceedingly. And charity means love, the charity of every one of you toward each other. That is, we can say faith growing is directly proportional towards the love they have towards themselves. Or you can also say it is equivalent to the love. Or it is directly proportional to the love. So once faith, when we see that love is increasing somewhere, faith increases in that place. So what I'm saying in essence is that that's not even where we are going. But we just wanted to establish that actually there's something called growing in faith. So did you see that faith can actually grow? Very good. The other passage say, increase our faith. And Jesus did not dispute that. Let's look at other things. Look at Romans 4:20. Romans chapter 4, verse 20. What does it say? Or let's look at it from verse 19. Now, what does it say? And be not what? weak in faith. So did you say that someone can be weak in faith? Correct? So if someone can be weak in faith, somebody can also be what? Thank you. Strong in faith. I said, being not weak in faith, consider not his own body now dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Did you see that? Giving glory to God. So it means that verse 20 is saying that when you are not strong in faith, you enter into unbelief. Are you getting it? When you are weak in faith, most likely you will wallow in unbelief. So the scripture is admonishing us that, you see, guys, the way you will not enter into unbelief is that you must strengthen your faith. Are you saying why we actually must teach mastering faith? Amen? Amen. Right. Sometimes we go from positive to negative, and sometimes we go from negative to positive. And sometimes what we actually need to deal with is something before we enter something. For instance, if I say that, don't stay in unbelief. I don't think I've said anything to you, but if I said, believe in God's word, does that make sense to you? When you believe in God's word, it means you are not staying in unbelief. But if I just say, don't stay in unbelief, you don't know what to do. What do you mean I should not stay in unbelief? I mean, believe in God's word. So this is not just me saying that, oh, you know what, month of help, go and get help, just believe. This is me saying that there is a way you can actually do it. There is a way you can master these things. And that's what I want to teach this morning. Amen? Are you still with me? Should we look up for other proof? Yes, we will. Look at 2 Corinthians 10:15. 2 Corinthians 10:15. What does it say, guys? Not boasting of things without a measure, that is, of other men's labor, but having hope. When your faith is increased, that we shall be what? Enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. So these guys are shaky at this point. If you read the context, they are shaky at this point. And Paul is saying that, the way you guys are, there is something that has to, your faith has to increase. Something like that. Let's look at other thing. Let's look at Matthew 14:31. Matthew 14:31. Are you there? Okay, what does it say? Oh, thou of, where? So it means that somebody can have what? Little faith. So if somebody can, so Jesus, did you understand when he said increase our faith? It means they are saying that we have little faith. Increase our faith. So Jesus here is also telling them, oh, you have little faith. Meaning that you should have what? Great faith. So you can actually have little faith. Hope you know. And you can also have great faith. So we need to master faith. Now, let me quickly say this before we continue. You see, in experience, most of the time, especially when it comes to believers, you almost do not have little faith, weak faith, whatever, in every aspect. It's usually in some. And sometimes, where you have strong faith, I may be weak in faith in that aspect. For instance, if you grew up in a home that they believe that, just go and go to your hospital. See, just use your sense. Just use your sense. You may have very weak faith when it comes to trusting God for healing. Especially when your parents are doctors. I'm serious. I've met a lot of medical doctors that are very strong in faith. Don't get me wrong. But you see, most. When it comes to that aspect, because they've seen, they are basing their evidence on what they have seen, what they are used to. Meanwhile, when it comes to provision, they can be very strong in faith. So sometimes, maybe because of your own experience, maybe your parents generally say things like, What is Shemon Kawelori Gini? Are we plucking money from the tree? Money is not going everywhere. And yet, it's not like you people don't go to church. But you are used to that hearing. Are we plucking? So you grew up with, are we plucking money on the tree? Are we plucking? This money go finish you. So when you don't even give in church, you are afraid. And when you give, it's always the widow's mite. Now, some persons still have very strong issues with giving, not because they are not hearing, but because there is a stronghold in their mind about money in time past. So they find it very hard to empty their account, to give bountifully in that way. But when it comes to believing God, I often find brothers like that. When it comes to healing the sick, they can heal the sick. But Jesus, I don't want to say they are so poor, but their faith is not strong when it comes to God's provision. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So when I say, oh, this person is weak in faith, when scripture says this person, it doesn't mean that in all aspects of their lives, they are weak. It can mean in very specific aspects. And that's why we need ourselves. Let me quickly say, that's why faith grows by love. Because part of what love does is that love encourages us coming together. So where you are weak, you strengthen me. Where I'm weak, I'm strong, I strengthen you. When you are weak, I strengthen you. When I'm weak, you strengthen me. So we grow in faith in that manner. Are you understanding these things? So I just need to drop that. Let's look at more. Matthew 8:25-27. What does he say? And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us! We perish! You are not there yet. Let's go. Verse 26, what does he say? So Jesus is still saying here too that they are of what? Little faith. Jesus did not say that you people don't have faith. Jesus said you are of little faith. Are you hearing that? Don't worry. Let's get one more place. Matthew 8:5-10. Matthew 8:5-10. If you are there, let's read together. What does it say? And Jesus answered unto, and when Jesus was entered into where? Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching in verse 6 and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Verse 7. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Verse 8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speaketh out that word, a hand only, and my servant shall be healed. Verse 9. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I said to this man, go, and he goeth, and said to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth. Verse 10. Let's go. And when Jesus heard it, what? Marveled. Are we in month of marvelously, being marvelously helped? Yes. So Jesus can also marvel. And Jesus marveled, what did he say? And said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. So you see that Jesus recognized strong faith. Did you see that? You see that Jesus also recognized little faith. Did you see that? And let me, you know, I'm still going to land somewhere, but let me quickly say it. All of us have received faith of God. Why? Because you have come to believe in Jesus. Don't ever forget that. I mean, it takes faith for you to believe in Jesus, and it's a gift. Faith is the gift of God. You do not go and have faith and carry faith somewhere. The thing is that in the faith that God has given you, you can increase in it, you can grow in it, you can master it. That's what we are talking about. Are you hearing me? So Jesus is saying to this person here, we come to receive it by matter of salvation. Is that very correct? So much so that even what we have come to believe is called the Christian faith. Say, are you in the faith? So it is weird for you to say you don't have faith because you are in the faith. Now, in the exercising, in the practice of it, the growing of it, the strengthening of it, all exercising and mastering it, there are now levels. Now, for this man, was he about salvation? No. What was he about? Healing. And he said, as it has come to healing, I have not seen a man that his faith is so strong when it comes to healing. Are you hearing that? Now, I'm not sure this guy is born again. Or at least he believed unto salvation. I'm not sure. Because we do not have any record like that, do we? No. He did not say, you know, of course, there are people that are going to Jesus and say that, Jesus, and they follow Jesus. We did not have record that this person followed Jesus. So maybe at this point, he was not even convinced of salvation. But you see that healing, he has seen it before. He has seen Jesus, and he has seen the way he does it. He said, this man has authority, and I have authority. Abi, so I understand authority. There's a way authority works. Just say it, it will happen. There is a way. Ayakatia. You know, we are still going to get somewhere, because this is where we should find ourselves. Strong faith. That Jesus is able to tell us that I have not seen any faith in Israel. This faith, strong like this. And there is a way to master it. I keep saying that. There is a way to what? To master it. You can master it. Now, is it very clear that faith can increase, faith can be weak, faith can be little, etc., etc.? Is it very strong? Is that very clear, guys? Alright. Now, let's go to Romans 10. And this is where it all begins. Romans chapter 10. That one that we've read, we are just establishing something so that it can be clear that this topic is not just a feel-good topic. It is actually very biblical. Are you Romans 10? Are you Romans 10? Let's look at it from verse 9. What does it say? That if thou shalt what? Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be... Verse 10. For with the heart man word believer unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, the Bible is talking about faith for salvation here. Very correct. Very correct. Albeit, you must understand that in the teaching of salvation is the character of God seen in every other area. The character of God that you cannot see in salvation, you most likely do not have it in any other area. If you see God gives abundantly in salvation, that's why we call it eternal life, right? Unending. That is the character of God in every other thing. He gives liberally. Amen. Liberally in every other area. That is how he is. If you see, once again, the character of God that is not exhibited in salvation, it is not likely in any other area. Don't desire it is not God. For all his attributes is seen when he saved man. All his attributes. So, if Paul is telling us here how salvation is, you know, we come by salvation, it means that you can take this and look at every other area and say, same, same. Are you understanding that? Same, same. Now, what did he say once again? He said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Now, remember that what we are looking at is mastering faith. So pay attention, because we are about to look at how faith can be mastered. Also, we are now going to see through the mechanism of faith. You know, mastering faith is mechanism. So you are saying that, okay this. And you will see, quote and unquote, the process kind of like here. Once again, what was the first thing he mentioned? If thou shalt what? Confess. With thy mouth, the Lord Jesus. And thou shalt what? Believe. Now, what do we say? One, element one is what? Confess. Element two is what? Believe. Thank you. Believe that God raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. So, for us to get to salvation, there are two things. Confession and belief. What again? Confession and belief. For the result that we want, here in this context, salvation, there are two things. Confession, belief. Then the second part says what? For with thine heart man what? Believeth unto righteousness. So he told us here that, again, this believing is very important. Then the second part is what? And with the mouth, confession. So he was not joking when he talked about confessing. So don't get it wrong. There is the matter of the confession, and there is now the matter of what? Believing. So you do not just have it in your heart and you do not say it. Many of us, we want faith to work just by thinking it. We don't voice it. It doesn't work that way. Now, let's settle something. I say, but when they preach to me, I just believe. I do not necessarily say, Lord Jesus. The Bible says, Lord Jesus, yeah. Amen. Confession is you are agreeing and you are saying it. If you see, the mouth is a very, very important organ in the human body. Death and life is in where? The power of the tongue is in the tongue. Choose life. So the things you say, super important. The profession you make before people or the confession you make with yourself. If in this world you have never said anything about the Lord Jesus, then you really do not believe in the Lord Jesus. Are you understanding that? The Bible is not saying here that you believe, you now come out. You know, they do that process like that. Say, do you believe? Do you believe? Oh yeah, all of you, come out. Say after me, Lord Jesus, I believe. Now, that has a part. When we are doing things like crusade, even in church, we can do those kind of things. Amen? But that is not exactly what he's talking about. It is the interpretation of this place that makes people do that. Are you hearing? So, again, we can't say it is wrong in itself. We are saying that in the process of things, if you have never proclaimed the name of Jesus, do you really believe in the name of Jesus? No! The Bible is saying that there has to be a proclamation. You have to use your mouth to talk about him. Hallelujah! Now, that is in general salvation. Now, let's not bring it down to what we are saying. For faith, for things to work, we see faith and we see confession. Amen? For things to work, we see what? Faith and we see confession. Faith and confession usually go together. And you are going to see it. Look at verse 14. The same place, chapter 10, verse 14. Are you there? Now what does it say? Very important. Let's go. How then shall they call on him who they have not believed? Now, how shall they what? Call on him. Meaning that he's saying that there is no confession without believing. How shall they call on him? Talk, right? If they have not. Very good. Now what does it say next? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? Meaning that there is, even before not believing, there is hearing. So again, hearing, then believing, then confessing. Are you getting this, what you are mastering now? Pay attention. We are almost there. Now, what does it say again? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Meaning that we have a reference that is a preacher. Then we hear it, right? We can also say, for instance, we have an information and we access it. Amen. Or we hear somebody from something they are talking about. So when we hear them, now there is a root. Then we hear it. Then we believe it. Then we say it. Amen. What is not written cannot be said. What is not said cannot be heard. What is not heard cannot be confessed. Simple. Should I repeat that? What you have not written down, what has not been written, cannot be what? Said. What has not been said cannot be what? Heard. What has not been heard cannot be what? Believed. You believe. Then what have not been believed cannot be. Very simple. I'm already showing you the mechanism of faith. And can I add the last thing? What you have not confessed cannot materialize. And I'm going to show you. For what we are actually looking for is materiality. We are not looking for something just in the atmosphere. And then we live our life without seeing any proof of our faith or faith. We are looking for materiality. And we are saying that for us to get to materiality, all these things has to be in place. For that is how it is seen in salvation. Amen. Were you not pushed to? I'm asking you. Were you not pushed to? The person that pushed to you, where were they seeing it? The information, where did they get it from? God's word. God said it so that he boldly said it. Abi? Uh-huh. So it was written, then it was spoken to you, then you hear it, Abi? Then you believed it and you also confessed it. That is the process of salvation. That is the process of anything when it has to do with materiality, materializing our faith. Are you hearing that, guys? Now, let's go further. Open your Bibles to Romans 4. Romans chapter 4. So just flip back a bit from verse 17. Woo, glory, glory, glory. Are you with me, guys? Please be with me. Don't lose me. I'm very expensive this morning. I'm too important. Now, what does it say? As it is written, I have made the world a father of many nations. Keep that thought somewhere. Don't lose that thing. Amen? As it is what? As it is what? Now, that is looking like something we just said now, Abby. That it has to be written before it is said. So here, Paul is saying that as it is written. Now, what was written? I have made the world father of many nations. Thank you, sir. Before him whom he... Did you see that? So it was written. Remember God said it, Abby? Then he believed. Hallelujah. Alright? What does he say next? Even God, whom quickened the dead and called those things that be not as though they were, right? Now verse 18. Who against all believed in hope that he may become the father of many nations according to that which was? Are you understanding these things? Who else will you learn faith from if not Abraham? That's where all the patriarchs, the apostles, everyone, Peter, everybody, that's where they learn faith from. That is the man God chose. Genesis chapter 12. Amen. So, are you understanding these things? Let's read further. So shall thy seed be, verse 19. And be not. Now, did you see that? So Abraham was not weak in faith. In other news, he was. So how was he strong in faith? This process that we are seeing happened, then he was strong in faith. Are you seeing how you two can be strong in faith? We are still going to break it down so that it will be like liquid. It will be easily digestible for you. And it will not be vague. You will have materiality in this month of help. In Kompodo land, say, you will not go through the motions anymore. Where you are just wishing. It is not wish, oh. This materializing, the process, quote unquote, can be seen clearly in scriptures. The mechanism of it can be seen. All you need to do is to copy. You say copy and paste. And you will see the same result. Hallelujah. Alright, let's go. What verse are we in? Verse 19, right? And be not weak in faith, in considered not his own body now dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. So he's saying that unbelief is staggering at the promise of God. I want you to note that. Unbelief is you not strong, Abby, on the promise of God. Standing strong on the promise of God. If you do not stand strong on the promise of God, you are in unbelief. And we are going to define that in a bit. Let's just continue. We are reading to verse 22. Now, what does it say yet? Through unbelief, but was what? Strong in faith. Is he saying it again? Yes. Giving glory to God. Verse 21. And be what? Fully persuaded. Now, fully persuaded means he was strong in faith. Don't forget, all these things are linked. If you are fully persuaded, it means you are strong in faith. Did you see that word? Fully persuaded. So there's something called being fully persuaded. Nothing will shake you. That you are so fully persuaded. When you are weak in faith, It means that, it's not that you don't have faith, though. Remember what I said? That everybody has. It's not that you don't have faith, though. But that full persuasion is not there. Let me quickly jump. Help down my own belief. I believe, oh. But you see, let's be honest with ourselves. There's still some parts. Again, let me jump. The Bible says that let such a man, let him not think he will receive anything. Maybe that's why you are not receiving anything. That's not maybe, that is why. Amen. Are we together? Alright, let's continue. What does it say here? Being fully persuaded that which he promised, he was able to perform. I want to bring out four different things from here. The first thing I want to bring out is I want to define certain things for us. Are we ready? Before I give three definitions, let me say the first thing before the three other things. The first thing is that, did you note what the first verse we read said? Let's go to that first verse we read. What does it say again? Verse 17, what does it say? As it is written, I've made you a father of many. Thank you. Now, go to verse 18. What does it say? Who against all believe in hope that he may become the father of what? According to that which was, it appears that when it comes to faith, believing, then we now start to get to strong in faith and the rest of them. It has to be based on what God has said. If God did not say anything, God did not promise you anything. No. Amen. Because many people will come and say, I have faith and I know it. Did God promise you? I can only be responsible for what I said. If I did not say, you cannot force me. I did not promise you. Abraham did not wake up one day and say, I want to become the father of many nations. I just want to be, God make me, was that what was going on? God called him. It was God that called him. It was God that told him. It was God that supplied that information to him. It was what was said. It was what was written. He did not. Abracadabra. What do I want today? God, I want a house today. And I have faith for it. Faith does not work that way. Amen. That is not faith. That thing is not faith. It's called presumption. You are presuming what God has not said. Faith does not work on presumptions. Never. Faith works on the spoken or written word of God. Again, faith does not work on presumptions. It works on the spoken or written word of God. First of all, settle that thing in your mind first. If you settle that, you will have less headache. What has God said to me? Or what has he written in his word? Amen? Did he promise you in his word? If yes, fine. We can start the journey. Was he written in his word? Yes, we can start the journey. Did he say it to you? Yes, we can start the journey. So the beginning of faith, amen, is that the word of God was spoken. Are you hearing me? Yes, you know, so F.F. Bosworth said that. You know, he said that thing. Very biblical. Very super biblical. He said, faith begins when the will of God is known. If God did not promise you, that thing you are doing, I don't know what it is, but it is not faith. What did you do? It is name it, claim it. Say, like pastor's wife, I claim her, I have faith. See that one. Say, some of you usually claim sisters. God tell you. That sister, let her like me. God, she's my wife in Jesus' name. I claim her in the mighty name of Jesus. Only. Amen. It is not name it. No, you know that there was, you know, when some of these things began to teach it very strongly in the Word of Faith movement, And you know, of course, instead of can I go plan the rest of them, started to teach it very strongly. At one point, Kenoko Plan so taught this that there was a woman in church that started to receive the debt of Gloria Copeland so that she can marry Brother Copeland. I received the debt of Sister Gloria. Brother Copeland is my husband. Say his name, he claims. Ah! Is that one of God? Can we call that faith? Are you understanding what faith cannot be? Faith is not what God did not promise you. Don't say, I have faith. You know, we use it carelessly. I just have faith. I just have faith in my heart. Shut up. Did God tell you? No. I just have faith. Come on, so. If God did not say, you don't have faith. I don't know what you have, but that is not faith. God must have said it as it is written. God said, so shall your seed be. I have made you father of many nations. Those things God said it. So Abraham, that will call the father of them that have faith, did not just wake up one morning and told God what he wants. It was God that told him what he wants. Hallelujah. And then he believed. Now, three things I want us to watch out from this. And I mean, this particular scripture. I just want to define something for us. Now, we see the word unbelief. But you know, before we go to the word unbelief, let us define the word doubt. The word doubt, or maybe not definition of word, maybe just giving it, I don't know what to call it now. Maybe just explaining it somehow. You know, doubt is different from unbelief. You may not know, but I'm telling you. That somebody is in doubt is even from them to be in unbelief. And for somebody to be in unbelief is even from them to have the hardness of heart. There are three different things. You know, you must have used it interchangeably. This person is because of your unbelief and hardness of heart. There are two different things. When Jesus uses it, he's saying two different things, and I'm going to show you. Amen? But the worst part is that somebody can get from doubt into unbelief and from unbelief to hardness of heart. It's a dangerous place to be. Doubt is like, I'm going to tell you what it is. Unbelief is like, hardness of heart is like, Amen? Let me show you before I define it so you understand it. Look at Matthew 8 from verse 1 to 3. Matthew 8. I think maybe we did not read it. Matthew 8. Are you with me, guys? Now let's go. What does it say? When he was come down from the mountain, great multitude followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, what? Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Verse 3. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him and saying, I will be thou what? Clean. And immediately his leprosy was clean. Now, this man, did he have faith in Jesus? Yes, right? Now, when he came and said that, if you are willing, make me clean. Do you think he was in doubt? I like that. Let's look at another scriptures. Look at Matthew 14. Matthew chapter 14, verse 30 to 31. Please ensure your eyes are open and your ears are much more open. 14, right? From verse, what did I say? All right, so what does it say? But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said to the word, he said, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou what? Doubt. Now, using this example of Peter, what was going on with Peter? He saw Jesus walking on water, right? And he said, Jesus, if you are the one, tell me to come. Correct? And Jesus told him, come. So he was not thinking about anything. He just acted on what Jesus said, right? And then as he was walking on water, he realized that, wait too. I'm walking on water. How can I be walking on water? Archimedes principle. When a body is partially or completely immersed in a fluid, it experiences an upthrust, which is caused to the weight of the fluid displayed. Principle of flotation. Elasticity of the surface tension. Oh, you are telling me, physics student. Surface tension, what else? Elasticity of water. Volume explosivity. The guy said, Kini, you go make sense. It's not matter. The physics is not physicism. He looked at the wind. Boisterous. No man can do this. And the Bible said he began to sink. And Jesus said, you are of little faith. Why did you doubt? Now you must understand that Peter had seen Jesus work miracles and all those things, right? He even saw him walk on water, do the same thing he wanted to do. And he even started to do it. Amen? But a time came, he started to observe certain things. And then, shame, you know, happy, and started to sing. Doubt has to do with the state of the heart of a believer, not an unbeliever. An unbeliever does not doubt. I will tell you the state of an unbeliever. Doubting is for someone that has seen that God is powerful, or in this case, Jesus is powerful. But the issue with the person that has doubt in their heart is observation of contrary, amen, contrary things, and then questioning God's will, not God's ability. Peter did not question Jesus' ability, yo. Hope you know, because even when he was thinking, what did he say? Jesus saved me. So he knew that Jesus could save him. He knew that Jesus could say, come, and he will walk on water. But the issue there was looking out and Jesus' willingness, God's willingness at that point. So take your mind back to that man. He knew that Jesus heals. Jesus can heal. He has seen evidence, right? That Jesus does it. But are you willing? That is doubt. So, and let me tell you, that is the state of heart of many believers. Your problem is not unbelief. Most of the time. Because you know God is powerful. But when you see the day, is God really? It is about this one. It's not about his power. It's about this one, me. You are looking at me. Are you understanding that? It is observing and taking note of the situation and questioning God's willingness. Because when you leave that place, when they say, if God, God can raise the dead, you're still saying the same thing. You know that God can raise the dead. But when it comes to you and, you know, you are not sure, because if they say that person raises the dead, God is able, is he not a Christian? Oh yeah, he will not raise the dead. So it's about God's willingness about you. That is where the problem, that is called doubt. And there's a solution for doubt. The second stage is what we call unbelief. Let me show you in scriptures. The first stage is what? Doubt. The second stage is what? Unbelief. Now, look at Mark 9:23-24. Mark 9. Are you in Mark 9? Alright, what does it say? Jesus said to him, if thou canst believe, all things are what? Possible to him that believeth. Verse 24. And straightway, the father of the child cried out. What did he say? And said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. So, did you see two words together? Lord, I believe. But help thou my unbelief. Meaning that people in unbelief is not like they have not heard or they have not seen evidence, but they want more evidence. That's different from doubt. Doubt, you have all the evidence and you know. But in that situation, God's willingness. Unbelief is that you want more evidence. So you preach the gospel to somebody. Then you say, ah, I don't believe. You know, you don't leave them. You still go and supply what? More evidence. That's unbelief. They have heard it. You know. But you need more evidence. And also, that's the state of many believers too. In certain cases, in certain situations, like I said, everything is not blanket. Some persons can be strong in faith in their finances and weak in faith. So you might just, it might just be doubts when it comes to finance. But when it comes to healing, it might be unbelief. You want more evidence. Because, I know that I saw that blind man, but could it be that it was just a coincidence? I know that that girl in that crusade, I know that she was crying and like her ear was open. Is it still open? But maybe she was hearing small. So you know what I'm talking about. You want more evidence. You want something beyond reasonable doubt. So you want more evidence. That is unbelief. Now the last part is hardness of heart. That one is irrespective of all the evidence. Oniro say. That one is different. Let me show you. Look at Mark 8, 17 to 21. Are you following me, guys? Are you in market? Alright, from 17 to 21, what does it say? And when Jesus knew ahead, it was said unto him, why reason ye? Because ye have no bread. Perceive ye not, not yet, neither understand. Have your heart what? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not. Having ears, hear ye not. And ye do not what? Remember. When I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many basket of fragments took ye up? They say unto him, 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many full basket of fragments take ye up? And they said, 7. And Jesus said unto them, how is it that ye do not understand? Jesus is like, I broke bread here. I broke fish here. I did this one here. And yet your heart is hardened. This is a state that you don't want to get to. That even when you are seeing the proof, you have seen proof upon proof upon proof. Now, there's also a level of hardness of heart. Or rather, there are different definitions when it comes to believer and unbeliever. Most of the time, I want to say this, but I don't know. Most believers, it's hard for them to get to this point. It is mostly for unbelievers. And they just say that me oh, Jesus will say. When you give them all the proof, some of them even know. But they are just telling that no. It's even from unbelief. Amen? Hardness of, now, the process of it is what happened with Pharaoh. You know, initially it was in unbelief. What's wrong with these ones? Which I am that I am. What are you talking about? And he said, And you know, God gave Moses the ability to make him believe. Abi? So he started to give him proofs. Abi? Plague one. Plague two. Plague three. Everything. Until the last one, when the firstborn, he said, at this point, your God, oh yeah, I believe, oh yeah, you push go and serve. But boy, in paron you. How, like, yuck. I'm clinging. Because it is hardness of heart. After their God, their God parted the Red Sea. You now went in the midst of that Red Sea. Now your God part them. No, have you thought about it before? That if I were the one, if I part of the church, you should be going. Because me, I love like, I'm not foolish. So, we did like this. Broom, what did I say? Pew, Abi. Abi, I say, pew. And they were walking on dry ground, but because of his word. And they went to the other side. You know, I say, we are coming for you. You are now walking on that same dry ground. Why aren't you trembling when you saw, see here. Are you not even afraid to say,
Abba.
You people should be going.
Do not evangel. Or more. Are you understanding? Beware this. Deny it. That is hardness of heart. Ha! What is your Lord? Are you understanding hardness of heart? When you think hardness of heart, think Pharaoh, think children of, think Egyptians. Very hard-hearted people. Even they were even enjoying. Ha! They saw the miracle. They were inside the miracle. Yet they said no. Ah!
Bye-bye. Support you, Lord.
That is hardness of heart. That even after all evidence, you still say no. That one is almost, there's almost nothing you can do. I not say there's nothing. I say there's almost nothing. Depending on the person, believer, unbeliever, all depend. Even when it is a believer, they can actually trust God for, you know, when, like we said, salvation, no. But you see this healing, they will go to any length to tell you that God does not heal now. Even when they see evidence across scriptures, they say, it is, even when their mom came to tell them, was it of this cancer in this church? They still don't believe. That is hardness of heart. Are you hearing me, guys? And something usually deal with these three things, or let's say these two things. Let me tell you, let me urge you, don't get to a point where your heart is hardened. Your heart is hardened. Don't get to that point. Amen? Now, let me show you something. Open your Bibles. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So, Mark 11. And this is where we'll wrap up. Because I want to show you even more clearly. You know what? Before Mark 11, go to James 1. I should have shown you this before. Okay. Let me show you. Are you in James, guys? James 1. Are you in James 1? Yes. Now, read it from verse 5 to 8. Let's look at it from verse 5 to 8. What does it say? If any of you lack what? Wisdom. Let him what? Ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him, right? But let him ask in what? Faith. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a veil of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. For let another man think in his heart that he shall what? Think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his way. Let me read this in the Living Bible. I want to show you something. James 1, from verse, what did I call it? 5, right? Now, pay attention. He said, if you want to know what God wants you to do, that's wisdom, ask him. He will gladly tell you, for he's always ready to give bountiful supply of wisdom to all who ask him. He will not resent it. But when you ask him, be sure that you really expect him to tell you. For a doubtful mind will be as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. And every decision you then make will be uncertain. As you turn first this way and then that, if you don't ask with faith, don't expect the Lord to give you any solid answer. Now, I want you to observe the first part. I say, if you want to know what God wants for you, ask him. It's what we've said before. That you see, when it comes to faith, you know, this is talking about faith, doubt, and the rest of it. He's telling us that it is what God wants that you have faith on. Are you understanding? Let me read it again. He said, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him. Amen. So again, I just wanted to reiterate this. I forgot to read the other time. That faith again is not on what you cook up. It is on what God wants. And that's what James was talking about. If you lack wisdom, ask God. Wisdom is what God wants you to do in this situation. Amen? If you want wisdom, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him. If you want to know what God wants, not just want you to do what he wants, his will, his situation in a matter, ask him. Are you with me? Now go to Mark 11. Or, like it is popularly said, Hagin 11. If you know, you know. Are we in Hagin? Sorry, Mark 11. Is this scripture not 18:11? I think that man taught it till he passed. It's as though it just doesn't exhaust. I'm not sure he exhausted it. He's always teaching it. I know that's what raised him from the dead, right? So it's a scripture. So that's why he's nicknamed Again 11. I want testimony of my love for scriptures to be like that. That when I'm gone, they can name a scripture after me. Maybe in heaven. That's what they're even calling it. I'm joking. Nehemiah. Oh, I like Nehemiah. Ah, like Bobo in Baji. Like it. Sorry. Amen. Glory to God. All right. Again, sorry. Mark 11. Now look at it from verse 20. Are we ready? Again, what are we looking at? What are we looking at, guys? Mastering faith. So let's master it from here. Mark 11 from verse, what did I call it? 20. Now let's go. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig dried from the roots. Verse 21, and Peter calling to remember and said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou callest is what? Withered away. And Jesus said unto him, unto them, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you that whatsoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but he shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall what? Have whatsoever he said. I said to 26, right? Now 24, therefore I say unto you that whatsoever things ye desire, when you pray, believe ye what? Receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye act aught against what? Any, that your Father, which is also in what? Heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Verse 26. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Now, I don't want you to be stopping when you are reading about this faith receiving and everything in verse 23 or 24. You must complete it to verse 26. Jesus was not mincing words. He added that part of forgiveness. I'm teaching you mastering faith, the mechanism. Some of you, you have all the old thing, but what is lacking is that is this 25 and 26 part. Remember what we read in what scripture did you read that we saw? Second Thessalonians 1:3, right? Where it was encouraging and praising the church in Thessalonica for their faith that is increasing because of their love, their charity towards themselves, right? You know, that was not a coincidence. It is like that. Galatians chapter 5 verse 6. Let's look at it. Mechanism of faith. Mastering faith. Let's see. Mechanism is just like mechanical, something like that. Something that is working. Amen? That is the working of faith. What did I call it just now? Galatians, right? Okay. Yes. Let's read it. What does it say? But faith, which what? So, Paul is saying here that the mechanism by which faith work is what? Love. Don't ever forget. When you remove love from faith, it is dead. You don't have faith. When love is removed from faith, it is no longer faith. It is selfishness. It is your own gain. God is not in it, for God is love. You now understand why James would be talking the way he was talking. You remember that scriptures? You remember? Right, guys? That the reason why you ask, I ignore, receive. You understand? Because the workability, the working of faith is love. If love is not supplied, faith does not work. So that was what Jesus was talking about. If you now go back again to Mark 11, talking about, oh, you believe, oh, you receive, oh, you say it. He now added it, I see, if you start, forgive. Amen? Forgive. For if you do not forgive, for the longest time when I was younger, I've always felt like, what is the correlation between these things? Why is Jesus talking about it together. It's a different thing now. I can ask it, kin ma beja ko ni kini ko bolon binu. Abi fakati. Mama, glory to God. And I'm going to show you. I think I must have shown you a couple of times. I'm still going to show you. But before I show you, let's go back to that mechanism. Now, remember the mechanism that we observed in Romans 10. Remember? Oh yeah, what did you read? Read it from me. What did I say? Confession. When we put it in a statement. Oh yeah. What did we say? It's in your book. Amen. That is the mechanism. Now, if you take it back here to Mark 11, same. Now, let's go back. Should we look at it? And this is where we'll close. Again, Jesus answered in verse 22 and said, have faith in God. The literal means have the faith of God. So you see that the faith does not belong to you. It is the faith of God. And I've told you that all of you have faith. Glory to God. All of you have faith. Now, if you now want to look at it practically, it is based off what God has said. Now, you know, if you read this next time, God said that whatsoever you desire, believe that. Now, you cannot say, but here he's saying what you desire. He's not saying what God said. Amen. Let me say very clearly again. If God no promise you, if you like have faith to tomorrow to next year, not to go sup. Amen. The desire here, because you have faith of God, is to the degree by which you align with God. Or if a man is aligned with God, paraphrasing, God will give him the desires of his heart. The desire of your heart cannot be at variance with God because you are in alliance with God. Amen. Let me give you an example. I want the new Jetto. How many of you know Jetto there is? I want the new Jetto, not the the SUV Jetto. And it's about 40 million naira. Now, did God promise me Jetto in the Bible? Somebody say yes. God promised me. What's it about? Hallelujah. Jetto know the Bible. But you see, I desired. See, let me tell you. Jetto actually is is both sleek and strong car. When you look at it externally, it's sleek. But you see, that car is very, very strong. Do your research. And guess what? It has 6-seater. Oh my daffin touchy badge. I want brethren. Because you know, as I'm thinking about car, I'm not thinking about saloon car. What can be official? How many of you can enter that car? Saloon car. By the time of you enter, the thing is now pressed at the back. We cannot go for crusade. We cannot travel to Badagry. Because all of you, and nobody here is, all of us are almost summarized in this place. Amen? Hallelujah. So let's assume, all of you, how many can it take? But if I have Jetto, 4, 2, 1, I know you won't now. Then we have to also put things. Now, it's that kind of car that I desire. I don't want a salon car. There's nothing you can tell me. I don't want it. Amen. But God did not say I will have Jetto in the Bible. And even my salary cannot buy it. It's the truth. Hallelujah. But that is the desire of my heart. Now, let me ask you, from what I just explained, is my desire in alliance with God? Let's ask. Let's answer it. Somehow. How is it somehow? How is it not aligning? No, that's not it. What is my desire? To get here. My desire is that I want a car that will be able to hold brethren. I'm not having some of you, the cars you want, you know, your salary cannot even buy it. Especially them Broke somewhere and Co. You now boys soft like that car, it can only take you and your wife. What a selfish. If you can buy it, that's your problem. You know that that's good because it's not everybody that is trying to have faith. Amen. You know, it's not everybody that is having faith. Now, there's a faith that is general to everybody, the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing you have. You need that one. Else you are going to hellfire. Amen. But there is, you know, like I told you, there is a characteristic of faith that has to do with our experiences, daily experience. And it's not everybody that is in the same situation. Some people are never babies. They are set for life. But you grew up in a gay. Ati fagba. Iju shaga. Agbawa. Bebelo. Amen. I'm not joining anybody. But yeah, and I know. And yet, I have a desire to own this kind of car that will be able to take the brethren. It is the desire of my heart. Amen. My desire is not selfish, but I can't afford it. In that moment, I will have to, quote unquote, trust God for it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because, like I said, I'm not a neighbor baby. My salary cannot afford it. But you see, this car is so much so that I know what I want to use it for. I'm not selfish in my heart. I do not just want to cruise town. That is, I mean, you are a Christian. Why are you cruising town? Soul is perishing. You are cruising town. Hallelujah. Now, did you see the desire of my heart again? Is that this kind of car is what I want for this type of reason? Is it a good desire? Oh my God, will grant me desires of my heart too. Now say, Ofe Jale, how your salary cannot even afford it? How are you able to buy this car? That is why it is by faith. Now, hold on. As God told me, now, that is now where the issue is. Because that's where desire comes. Because this one is not written in the scriptures that way. But that desire of my heart is in alignment with God. Let me give you an instance. Let's start Sumra, when he was about 80 plus. And then he thought that, he was done and the rest of it, Then God told him, God called him, God said, I'm going to give you a private jet. And he was only, God, I don't need a private jet. I'm 80. I'm going. I said, no, I need to give, because there is a war that will come up in Israel. Probably it was even on at that time. I can't remember. It was the depression period thereabouts, that I want to specifically take relief to Israel. And this, and God began to talk to him about what he was going to do. What does he, now, did God tell him about that? Yes. For what reason? To close? No. But to meet a need. You will see, let's assume one with jet. He said, our man of God, ye. Or, let's say the good part. God, I believe you too for private jets. Did God promise you? Amen. Now, if it comes out, I'm sorry to say that, yeah, you know, let me quickly jump, because this is what we are going to look at next week anyways. That God said it again It doesn't mean that today like this. Now, remember what we just read in the fig tree. Jesus said to the fig tree, no man shall eat of thee. And he walked away. Like I told you on Wednesday, maybe some people will be looking at, and they are going, but the next morning, Jesus was not even looking. This thing was already dried, Bible says, from the root. Remember the boy that Jesus only laid hands on. Bible says that he fell down as though dead. He was just saying, what's that was going on? No, he was to fell down dead. No, he will rise again. Because the word has already been proclaimed. So it does not look outside for evidence. And it does also mean that immediately, because you know, you could have been afraid that I thought this person is even dead. So it doesn't always mean that, oh, tomorrow like that, you have to agree with God. Just like Abraham. Did Abraham say Isaac immediately? No. But he had to what? Agree with God. And the Bible said that he was fully persuaded and he saw it. Is that very correct? There is a quote unquote process of full persuasion when it comes to God's promise and faith. And that's why I define doubt for you. And I define unbelief. That doubt is God's willingness. I know God is able. But is God willing? Unbelief is that, I see here and there, but God, help that my unbelief. Can you still do more things? God. Do you understand? And hardness of heart is that, Koda Moheri Gomi Otubagbo. Irrespective of the evidence, I'm not believing. Unbelief, more evidence, doubt. Are you willing? Amen. So God will begin to take care of if at all there is hardness of heart. Then if at all there is what? Unbelief. And then if at all there is what? Doubt. God will begin to deal with it. God will begin to take care of it. Did you think that Abraham did not have doubt when God told him? He did. Amen. Did he or did he not have doubt? Unless you're not reading your Bible. At some point, he even wanted to help God. God, leave Isaac, shall bless Ishmael. Because how? But a time came. The Bible now, you know, spoke about it in the New Testament as what? It was fully. This one is full. No, not even you won't talk. God was persuading him. Say, Paulus, Mary, oh yeah, come. Look at the stars. Did you see? Can you see? Remember the story of the star. Also see how big they are. Are you seeing what is good? This is what will happen. Then God come again. Oh yeah, sacrifice. Now, are you seeing this one? Are you seeing how it is going on? God was persuading him. God does it for all of us. He does it for all of us. He persuades us. He shows us his faithfulness. And eventually, being fully persuaded is faith in God's faithfulness. You have seen, I've told you that dead all those things are, let's not go to the doctor. Mm-mm, see it. It is hope against all hope. Not considering. He's seeing it, but he's not considering. He was not denying it. He was not considering the deadness of his own body or the deadness of Sarah's womb. He agreed. This is about God is able. Faith is superimposition. It is not denier. Is you saying that God superimposes? It's not you denying. So God will supply you. He is that graceful towards us. He will keep supplying. He keeps, oh yeah, look at this part. Oh yeah, look at this. Oh yeah, look at this. Until you get it. So when God promised, let's assume now. It was not like he came the next day. He didn't ask all of them now. They came to a time when they were fully persuaded and they saw it. And I've told you, see, the process is very clear, full persuasion. What did I say again? That God said it. Abi, then you heard it. Abi, what now happened again? You believe it. Abi, then what happened? You confess it. Then what happened? Are you hearing that? Many of us stop at the level of, oh, I'm praying, God, this thing is your will, okay, I'm praying for it. Then we did not say faith is when you know the will of God. Faith begins. F.F. Bosworth was saying right. It is begins. Because you see it, some of you still need more evidence. That's why we bury ourselves in God's word in this time of fast. Because you must supply evidence beyond reasonable doubt. We see it here, okay. Be bold to say, God, I believe, help down my unbelief. Be bold. I mean, who are you doing? What are you doing? Some of you, you are trying, God, I have faith. Are you trying to, God knows your heart. Glory to God. He knows your heart. Who else can you be naked before if not God? God, see, you know my heart. This thing, you are saying, but somewhere in my heart, there are information that has been supplied that is blocking these things. And so that's why you have to bury your, you are hearing new information. Hallelujah. You are hearing new information. You are so, God is supplying. You are hearing new information. You are hearing until you are persuaded. And let me tell you something. After you stay in prayer like that, and God says it, Abby, and you know the will of God, everything, and God says, yes, I received. Just like what, Mark was saying. Amen. Just like what Mark was saying. You desire. You ask God. And he says, see, God gives. Very clear. Then you go into that moment God has given. You must write your confession. See, let me tell you why. The reason again is because you are not, because you are, you know, I've told you that there's a difference between receiving and having. Receiving is that comes to you in prayer. Having is materialization, Abi. Some persons from the moment of receiving to materiality, a lot can also happen, no? That's why confession is very important. That you are saying the same thing, you are saying it to your ears. Some of you, you pray, so what did you pray about? I shall trust God. Trust God for what? You can't even remember. You don't know the details. You can't remember. It doesn't work that way. You must be clear-minded about what God has said. Clear-minded about what He has promised. Clear-minded about what you have received. So don't ever forget. He said so that we may boldly see. It must be there. As you don't receive, so. Amen? As you was written, you heard it, you believe it, start saying it. Start speaking it. Start speaking. Keep confessing it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. And the Bible said that when you confess it, what happened? You are saved. It materializes. I'm not going to expand this too much. I'm going to, you know, continue by next week. But I hope you learned something this morning. So you see, mastering faith is not far-fetched. It is laid upon God's word. And to quickly mention, because some of you need this one, me to learn this one. You see, the issue of forgiveness when you are in faith, because faith worketh by love, don't override it. The reason is because the things that we have received, we receive it by God's mercy. Hope you know. You are not even competing yourself. Many things, see, you can't give God reason enough to do something for you when you have not received what He has done. What I'm saying is that He has given mercy to you. He says, if you are coming, see, if you want to pray, if you have what against your brother will say, go back. Amen? Go back. Go and resolve it with your brother. Then come back. Because you see, the issue of prayer, yes, God has promised, it is still the issue of His mercy. And the Bible says that He showed mercy to those who are merciful. You cannot receive from God when you are acting against His nature. The nature of God is love and forgiveness. For if you say you believe in God, you are actually saying you believe that God is love. And you are reflecting the same. If you not reflect the same, you don't believe in God. Oh, Baba, you don't believe. You must extend mercy. Because you too, you have received mercy. That is how faith works. Because faith is not in the air. Faith is on God now. It's faith just that, oh, you are calling, let me claim it. No, that's how we mention that. Faith is not let me claim it. If it is let me claim it, then it has nothing to do with you expressing the nature of God or anything. It's not based on God. But because it is not let me claim it, it's based on what God has said. For you to trust God, you must trust His instructions. And His instruction is that you forgive. Let go. Trust His nature. And you receive faith. Walk truly by that love and that compassion. Rise up on your feet.